Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf yud, and we're starting at the very, very top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins with a braisa Tana Rabbanan. Eretz Yisrael nivras tchila, v'chol ha'olam kulo nivra lebesayf. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, first he created Eretz Yisrael, and then he created the rest of the world. Shenem, it says in the pasuk, ad le'osa eretz v'chutzois eretz v'chutzois, period. Ad le'yosa eretz means HaKadosh Baruch Hu first made the eretz, and although the pasuk doesn't identify which eretz we're talking about, the Gemara presumes that we're talking about the eretz hamiyuchad, and therefore that's eretz Yisrael. V'chutzois means, and subsequently, all of the outskirts, chutz la'aretz, anything beyond eretz Yisrael, was number two. And similarly, says the Gemara, eretz Yisrael mashka u'isa HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmoy, when it comes to sending down rain, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, the Kodesh Baruch Hu does it himself. The rest of the world, the Kodesh Baruch Hu goes and sends down rain through a shliach. It's the second mesechta. Through a shliach. How do I know? When it comes to b'nei Eretz, Kodesh Baruch Hu is the noisen mater himself. When it comes to chutzos, he shliach mayim. Through a shliach. This would be, therefore, a third teretz of the kasha that we asked back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. When Rabbi Yochanan said back on Beis Amud Aleph that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the maftechos of Kshamim for himself and doesn't give it to a shliach. And then you remember the Tosis says, oh, but we find Eliyahu HaNavi and we find other occasions that this was given away and that was given away. So Tosis said, yeah, but it's never given away. Permanently. And you remember Rashi said Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't give them aftechas for all three in the hands of one. They were split up, if you will. So what our Gemara is telling us is, even here, there is an exception to the rule that when we say that Kodesh Baruch Hu never gives away the maftechas for Geshamim, he's referring to Eretz Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu is mashka, oh, he said Kodesh Baruch Hu be'atzmoy. But the rest of the world, yeah, he gave Ayidei Shliach. Nishkefet. Yes. Continues the Gemara. Shneim it says in the pasuk, "Hanois in mata al pnei aretz, v'shleich mayim al pnei chutzos." Hanois in Kadosh Baruch himself, shleich ayidei shleich. Eretz Yisrael shoyis and make shamim chaloyim kulein mitamtzis. Eretz Yisrael goes and receives the major make shamim. The rest of the world takes the tamtzis. Tamtzis means the remainder, the residuary, whatever remains at the bottom. You have this. Large flask, a large container, you pour out 90% of it, you have only a little bit left over in the flask, in the container, and that's what happens. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the vast majority to Eretz Yisrael. Whatever's left over is mitamtzis. Now, this is both in terms of quantity and quality, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily. Shneimet says again, first the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives matar, he goes and brings rain to Eretz Yisrael, and then the pasuk says v'shleich mayim. It doesn't say mutter anymore. The use of the term mayim sounds like yeah, whatever liquid is left at the bottom of the container, the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, that's used for the rest, everything outside Eretz Yisrael. And similarly, Eretz Yisrael shoyis etchila. First, Eretz Yisrael goes and drinks up the rain. V'cholayim kula libesayif, and after that, the rest of the world gets it libesayif. These two memories would seem to be virtually identical. Certainly they're synonymous. And perhaps we'll see in a moment why the Gemara is repeating it. Shneimer says in the pasuk, anoisim matar al pnei aretz, once again, and v'shaleich mayim al pnei chutzos. Marshal yodem, now our Gemara says shemegabel es agvina. That's probably a mistake. It should probably say shemegabein es agvina. A person who is making cheese, he's manufacturing cheese. When he's finished, he goes and takes the nice, juicy piece of cheese, and he leaves behind the psoilus, which is what they call in English whey, W-H-E-Y. Whey is also important, but it doesn't rise to the level of cheese. So here, too, when we're talking about rain on the earth, Kodesh Baruch Hu first gives the real makoi, the real rain to Eretz Yisrael, the real gvina, the cheese, whatever's left over the whey, that he leaves for the rest of the world. So it's not only just a question of volume or a question of quantity, it's also a question of quality, that the rain there to show its quality rain, and the rest of it is just what's ever left over at the bottom of the barrel. So we're going back to yesterday's Gemara. Remember, we had a machlok between Reb Lezer and Yeshua. The rain that comes down, did it initially come from down below, from the Ukiyonos, and it went up as a result of the evaporation, and then it goes down again? That was Reb Lezer, and Reb Yeshua said, no, all the water start off from upstairs in what the Gemara called a kuba, which is presumably some sort of chamber. Anyway, so Reb Lezer said that they come from the Ukiyonos. And Reb Yeshua said, it's impossible, because note that the waters that come down, that rain down, all are non-salty. Yet the waters that come from the Ukiyonos, they're salty waters. So you see, it's not the same thing. So the Gemara answered to Reb Lezer that mematkin be oven. They get sweetened up in the oven in the clouds. So the Gemara is bringing now, right? Matkin heimba oven, that they first, these salty waters get sweetened in the clouds. We know they had. We know this. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, it says in the pasuk, chashchas mayim ovei shchokim. That's a pasuk in Tilim. Uksivan is a similar pasuk in Shmuel. Chashras mayim ovei shchokim. The article says that the word chashras means that the water is coming through a sieve. The word chashkas is from Lashon Choshech, that it's dark. So now the Gemara says, we're going to take one letter from one of the two words. Notice the word chashchas and chashras are virtually the same, except that this word is a chof and this word is a resh. It says the Gemara, shkoyim chof, take out the chof from the word chashchas, v'shod the aresh, and throw it into the other word. In other words, insert it into chashras. And what are you going to have? Ukri bein, then you're going to have the word chachshoras. And now we're going to take the word chachshoras, and we're going to take the ches, and we're going to go and exchange it for a hey, because we know that aleph, hey, ches, and ayin are letters which are interchangeable. So instead of chachshoras, it becomes like chachshoras. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the term chachshara. See here, hachsharas means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is preparing the water so that it should be drinkable. How is he being mesakein, preparing the water? By going and making it sweet, or at least taking out the salty aspects of the water. From Yeshua, Bani Kuroi, my Dorish, since Rabbi Yeshua holds that the waters come down initially from up in Shemayim, they don't have to go through this desalination. Yes, thank you. Desalination process. So therefore, what does he do with these two psukim, chashchas and chashras? He holds like Rav Dimi that when he came from Eretz Yisrael, said the following: Ami Marav in Eretz Yisrael, he's saying, Nehoir anani ze'irin mohi, chashoich anani sagyon mohi. The word anani, of course, is anonym, is referring to clouds. Mohi is water. So Nehor Anani, if the clouds are light, they're bright, Ze'irin, only a small amount of Moi, a small amount of rain. Chashoich Anani, however, if the clouds are dark, from Lashon Choshech, Sagin Moi, then there's plenty of water. And even today, if you go out on a rainy day, if it happens to be, clear on the horizon, these light clouds, it's usually a light rain. If you see that the horizon, these skies get all dark with real dark clouds, then there's a good chance we're going to get a heavy downpour. So therefore, says the Gemara, that's what I learned from the Chashkas Mayim. So Rashi says that both parts of the drash, both that we're saying that the Mayim was, that the clouds were dark. One of you would be so kind, please put yourself on mute because we hear some background noise. When it says Chashkas Mayim, Chashkas Mayim is referring to Choshech, dark. So we learn from that dark, Ovishchakim, there's going to be tons of water coming down from up in Shemayim. And now we make an inference. What happens if it's not dark? If it's light, then it's not going to be so much water coming down from Shemayim. So both parts of the Limud of the Nehor Anani, the light clouds, and Chashoich Anani, the dark clouds, are all learned from the first Pasuk, Chashkas Mayim. So what do I do with the extra Pasuk, Chashras Mayim? Says Rashi, that we use for the drush of Rabbi Yeshua of yesterday. Because Rabbi Yeshua already addressed the Chashras Mayim yesterday. If you go back to yesterday's Amud Beis, we start off Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, which was about, oh, no, 12, 13 lines from the bottom of the Amid, and then skip a 3 or 4 lines, and you'll see that he says that the Anonim have like a small hold, like a kavra, like a sieve on the bottom, similar to perhaps like a shower head, small little holds. And then it says, Ubois umechashrois maim al gabi rekika, the word of gabi karka. The word mechashrois is the first word on the line, about 10 lines from the bottom. Umechashrois maim al gabi karka, shenemar chashras maim avishchokim. The word mechashrois in that connection means it sprinkles down water as if you're using a sprinkler or using a shower head where it comes out these little drops coming out on the karka. So the word chashras there means to sprinkle. So we therefore the chashras teaches about the dark and the light clouds, and the chashras talks about the sprinkling, and we continue on. So tomorrow kabanaz odesanya, who's the town of the following brice? It says in the brice mayu al yoinim the mamar heim teluyim upeiroseyan make sham. The mayim al yoinim, those waters that come down from heavens in the form of rain, the mamar heim teluyim, they're hanging up there because the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Amira. They really have no place to rest, so to speak, says Rashi. But rather, they're inside. Rashi calls it Kimin Brecha. Everybody knows a Brecha is like a large pool, especially in Eretz Yisrael. Today, they talk about a swimming pool. They talk a Brecha. So there's like a heavenly swimming pool up there in the heavens, which are not holding, not standing on any pillars. They're just Mamrim Kaliyim. They're suspended in midair. And their peyrois are make shaman. What does it mean that their peyrois are make shaman? After all, and that's the water that's inside the brecha. What do these peyrois say? So Rashi says that the water that's in the brecha up above is not touched. It stays there permanently. Rather, those waters or that swimming pool perspire from time to time. They sweat. And so therefore, the peyrois is a form of the sweat. The derivative of those water. Of those waters are make shaman are rain waters. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, the prima secha tizba ha'aret. The prima secha tizba ha'aret, the land gets satiated, gets full, mipri, not from the masim themselves, but from the derivative of the masim, the prima secha. Therefore, says Rashi, it's as if the brecha upstairs is perspiring, and that perspiration comes down in the form of precipitation. And therefore, the original waters stay intact. Rashi gives, like we say in the davening, so the keren kayam is meaning the waters, those remain, olam haba, if you will, and the peirusayim, that's the derivative, the interest that comes off, that comes down here to us earthlings here in Bnei Adam. Zokti Gemara Vaita, so that says the Gemara, who holds that way? That's Kiman Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua says all the waters come from upstairs and they come down. For Blaz, what does Rabbi Blaz say? This possibly pre-masecha tizba aretz is not talking about rain in particular. Rather, it's talking about a Kodesh Baruch who's creating the world in general. That the whole world was created a pre-masecha from the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Maasim, from the 6-7 days of the Brias Oilam, as well as Kodesh Baruch Hu continues to conduct the world on an ongoing basis. So all of that's Masiyad of Shkolich Bar. Om Reb Shuman Levi, Kala Oidam Kulay Mitamtsis Gan Eden Hu Shoyse. We said before that the initial rains or the major rains go to Eretz Yisrael, and when the Tamtsis, whatever is left over, goes to Chutzlaretz. Reb Shuman Levi goes one step further. He says, Kala Oidam Kulay Mitamtsis Gan Eden Hu Shoyse. That the major rains first go and fill up Gan Eden. Whatever is left over then goes to the rest of the world. It says in the pasuk, "Nor yoytzame Eden," and the hishka is called Bnei Adam. The nor leaves Eden, and then it's mashke to all the rest of the world. So you see that nor is similar to the inyan of rain, that it starts in Eden and then it goes further. Turning the brayse, it continues now to try to put it in concrete numbers, concrete terms. Mitamtis base kar shoyse tarkov. From what's left over from a base car, you can go and give to drink to a tarka. What are the proportions over here? You all know that a base car is 30 sa'ah. A tarkiv is a, really means trei vakav. Trei vakav means 2 plus 1, which means three kavan altogether. Three kavan is half of a saw, because a saw has six kavan. So tarkav is a half a saw. And since a base korah has 30 saw, what we're saying is Gan Eden gets, we start off with 60 parts, Gan Eden gets 59 parts, and 1/60th, a half of a saw in comparison to 30 saw, 1/60th, the remainder goes for the rest of the world. And the Gemara is in fact going to dwell on this now for the next moment or two. Tanu Rabbanan.
Eretz Israel. Israel is included in all the other countries after Gan Eden?
That's a very good question. The Gemara doesn't address that. Let's see whether the next Gemara addresses it. Tanu Rabbanan, we start the Brayse. Eretz Mitzrayim, Havia Dalet Meyas Parsa, Al Dalet Meyas Parsa. Eretz Mitzrayim is 400 Parsa by 400 Parsa. Vu Echem Mishishim Bekush. And the size of Mitzrayim is only 1/60th of Kush. Gemara doesn't say what the definition of Kush is. Most people think it's Ethiopia. Others say it has to do with India, China, Bevais. Anyway, but it's 1/60th of Kush. The Kush Echem Mishishim Be'olam, and Kush is 1/60th of the world. Be'olam Echem Mishishim Be'gan, the rest of the world is 1/60th of the Gan. Gan meaning the portion of Gan Eden, which is called Gan. The Gan Echem Mishishim Be'Eden. Eden is 60 times the size of Gan Eden. So, in fact, in Bosik in Bereishis talks about Kadosh Baruch Hu making a Gan Be'Eden Mikedem. So Eden and Gan, although we always talk about Gan Eden as if it's one entity, Gan is really the garden of Eden, literally the garden of Eden. The Eden Echem Yishishim LeGehenim, and Eden is 1/60th of Gehenim. So apparently Gehenim, they need more room than they need in Gan Eden. Can't imagine why. Nimtzakol Olam Kuloi Kikisi Keder the Gehenim. Now that we went through all of these proportions and we're saying that Kush is 1/60th of the world, and the world is 1/60th of Gan. Well, Gan is 1/60th of Eden, and Eden is 1/60th of Gehenim. So therefore, the whole world is compared to Gehenim like a kisa keder, just like the lid over this huge pot. Right? If you ever go to a chasen or a yeshiva and you see these huge pots that they use for cooking, for instance, a cholent or soup, then they have a tiny lid on the top. So the whole world is just like a tiny lid on top of this large pot. The Yesham others say Gehenim ain't l'shir. Doesn't have a shear at all, unfortunately. V'yesh omrim Eden ein l'shear. Ah, Eden, the part of Gan Eden, also ein l'shear. No, Baruch Hashem. So Omer, Boishi Yimayi, it says in the Pasuk, not Sheikhanis, but Sheikhant, Almayim Rabin, Rabbas Oitzrois, Mi Gorim Lebovel Sheyehu Oitzrois Seha, Malei Oitzbar, who caused that bubble should be, its Oitzrois, meaning its silos, its treasure houses, should be full of bar. Bar means of tvua, of grain. Because it happens to lie next to very moist and fertile soil. We've had this already numerous times in the Gemara. And Rav says, Omer Rav, Asira Bovel, Techatz Deblei Mitra. Bovel is so rich, the word Asira from Lashon Ashirus, it is so rich that Chatzda, you can harvest Deblei Mitra without even having to water the ground. What's the reason for this? Because Bovel is low-lying between mountains. And it's like in a valley. And you have all of the runoff from the mountaintops, as well as any snow that's there in the winter, slowly but surely melts, and again, runs down the side. So you have natural waterfalls all the time going down to the valley above out, and therefore you don't need any additional rain, you don't need an additional irrigation. Whatever it gets from the mountaintops is sufficient to keep it wet. So therefore, that's why it's Oitres Amleas Bar, always full of Tvua, because it's Sheikhenes Almayim Rabin. It lives among heavy duty waters. Zog Timur Amar Abai, in the Ketinan, we have a Klal, we have Mesoira, Tavani, Velo Yevshani. That Bovel is a Mokoim of Tavani, means very, very moist and very wet, Velo Yevshani, and it's not a dry area. So therefore, that's the reason why that's the Kiyam of that Pasuk. Beginning back to Neil's question before, Daniel asked, what's the relationship between Eretz Yisrael and Gan Eden? So Reb Lezer, the Gemara, Amar Reb Shuman Levi, Kol Oilam Kulam Etamtis Gan Eden, Ushoisa, he really doesn't address the question. He only talks about Gan Eden is where you have the vast majority of the water, and whatever's left over goes for the rest of the world. So the question is Gan Eden, does that also include Eretz Yisrael? Or is the rest of the world Eretz Yisrael? So for the next Gemara, it sounds like the rest of the world is part of the second half. In other words, Gan Eden is so much larger than Kush, which is so much larger than Mitzrayim, etc. So that's a very large, large part of the world. And Kush itself is 1/60th of the world. And the world is 1/60th of the Gan, etc. Like we already said before. So presumably Eretz Yisrael is part of the rest of the world after Gan Eden. And that's we all get waters after Gan Eden has gotten its waters. Could very well be that the Gemara doesn't mean this literally. It means on more of an esoteric level. Of course, in Mayim al Torah, it's telling us that all the Rochnias in the Torah first goes to Eretz Yisrael, the first goes to Gan Eden, and from there it spreads throughout the world. Zok the Mishnah. We had this Mishnah already before. When we started off our Masechta, we spoke about Na'ei Masai Maskir and Gvuras Kishamim, and here we're talking about not Haskara, but She'ela. And we've already discussed this numerous times, the difference between Haskara and She'ela. Haskara is referring to Mashiv Aruach Umoyed HaGoshem, and She'ela is referring to the same Tal Umoto Levrach. So says the Mishnah. When do we begin saying the same Tal Umoto? We begin with Machesh and Shalas Yikshamim already on the third day of Chesh. On the seventh day of Chesh. What's the seventh day? Tesva of Yoim, it's the 15th day after Chag, after the conclusion of Sukkis. Because you have so many Oile Regolim going up to Yerushalayim, and now they're all going home. So those that leave, either that leave at the end or that have the longest distance to travel, those that live near Nahar Pras is suffering in Eretz Yisrael, not far from Bovel. So they apparently are the ones that live closest to the border, if you will. So they have the longest trek. So we give them 2 weeks to get home, that they shouldn't be, we shouldn't start saying the same Talmud of Racha, and that it's going to pour on them and they'll have difficulty in getting home. So Gimel or Shiva. Now that's, of course, all the Eretz Yisrael. Amr Blaza, Lachar of Gamliel, we learn like we pass from Lachar of Gamliel, B'Shiva Bay. Tanya, Hananya, Oimer, U'Begoyla, Ad Shisha, B'Tkufa. In the Goyla, in Golos, it's the 60th day of the Tkufa. Tkufa meaning of the Tkufois of the seasons, which are the solar seasons. So it's 60 days. Now, our Gemara is considering the winter solstice as beginning from beginning of October, October 7th or 8th. The art school already notes in the footnotes that according to our Cheshbon, it's September 23rd or September 24th or whatever. But nevertheless, for these purposes, the purpose of St. Talamater, we deem it to be the beginning of October. 6 days, days later gets us the beginning of December. And that's why we always begin saying either the 5th or the 6th day of December, we begin with St. Talamater Rock.
Yes, South America, Australia.
Yeah.
Where there the summer is not the winter.
Yeah.
They also alternate.
In theory, you're right, one should have different zmanim, but Lamaisa, to my knowledge, everywhere throughout the world, outside Eretz Yisrael, it's all the same. Everybody starts at the same time. But there is discussion about this among the earlier Mefarshim. Over the last few hundred years, this hasn't been much of an issue, but in earlier times, it wasn't Machlaikis exactly whether or not in other parts of the world, we should start at different times. Zokti Morris, this is because of Shisha Mitkufa. If I'm not mistaken, we said in the Mishnah of a Shiva Boy is the day that we start asking for Kishomim. And if I'm not mistaken, that's also the yard site of Ramey Shapiro Zatzal, but unfortunately was not the Zochet to have children, but he was Zochet to go and spread the Torah. Mayim is a Mayim of the Torah, so therefore, we start the same Talmud Motav Rach, we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu Megeshem. That's the same day that the Yortzeit of Ramey Shapiro, who spread out so much Torah throughout the world, with the Daf Yomi. Om Ravuna Barchi, Om Shmuel, Aloch Karani, we pass like Chananya, the Begoyla Ad Shish Betkufa. Right, more Eini, Vaboy Menin, Shmuel, the Ashmuel, Naim is with Kalin and the same Talmud Motav. When do we fell the same Talmud Motav? Om Lahu, he said, Mechim, Me'ayli Tzivi, Lebeitabus Rishba. There was a gentleman who apparently lived not far from Shmuel, whose name was Tavus. That's a real good name to have, Tavus from Russian Toys. He was a Rishba. Rishba, says Rashi, means a Tzayed Ophos, meaning that his business was, his occupation was to go and capture birds, fowl. That was his job. And when it came winter time, he would make an announcement, Monday morning, Rabbi Yisai, everybody bring in all the firewood from outside. meaning that during the summer they left the firewood out in the back and the front, whatever, so that you get the benefit of the sun to dry it out. And now the winter season is going to begin. We don't want the wood to become wet. We want to be able to use it for fires, for the fireplace, for cooking, etc. Bring it in. And when Tavis Rishba made this announcement in this medrash, everybody bringing the wood, that's when you start the same Talmud to Livrach. Didn't Shmuel say a moment ago that we pass on like Hananya, that you go after December 5th and 6th? What's going on? And for the Gemara, the lead of Ibi Chachiru, which Kakasha could very well be that these are the same share. In other words, the same time that Tavis Rishba would make his announcement, bring in the wood, that always came out to be the 5th or 6th of December. Since we're saying 60 days, it's really a question of, the Gemara said, is it Adi Ad Bechlal or Ad V'loy Ad Bechlal? In other words, on day 60 itself, do we start saying the same Talamot of Bracha, or is it on day 61? And it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Tashima Rav Omer Yom Shishim Kili Achas Shishim. The day of the 60th day, Yom Shishim, is like after Shishim. And just like on day 61, we start saying the same Talu Matar, on day 60, we also say the same Talu Matar. And Shmuel Amar, no, Yom Shishim Kilifnei Shishim. The 60th day is still like pre-60. We don't say the same Talu Matar. We only say it on day 61. Amar Nachba Yitzchak, somebody's going to stop you in the street and going to say, do you remember, was it Rav that said 60 is like 61, or was it Shmuel? So the Samarach for you to remember that Eloi Bo Maya, Tasoi Bo Maya. Those that live on the heights require more water. Those that live down below don't require so much water. So what type of simon is that? Explains Rashi, because the Gemara says, Elsewhere in Gittin, Machi Osir Rav Lebovim. Rav originally was from Eretz Yisrael, and then he moved to Bovim. While Shmuel was at all times, he was in Bovim. Since Rav moved from Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael are the heights. In Eretz Yisrael, they need a lot of rain. They need a lot of water. Because since it's Yerushalayim Horim Savivla, there's a lot of mountainous terrain there. It's not like Bavel that lies in the valley, which we said before is always moist, and they don't need so much rain. So therefore, Rav is considered to be like the Eloi, people that came originally from the mountaintops or from the living in the heights. They needed a lot of water. And that's why Rav would say, already start asking for water on the 60th day. Don't wait a 61. Go and ask on day 60. Again, Rav is addressing many Bavim because in Eretz Yisrael, they already start asking from Gimel Mar Cheshvan or Zayin Mar Cheshvan, like we learned in the Mishnah. But after Rav came down to Bavel, he said, we should continue asking for rain as early as possible, so start on day 60. However, Shmuel, who was a Babylonian, we don't need water that badly. You can go and wait until 61. It doesn't say necessarily that because of their historical or their biographical past where they lived, that determined their view. This could very well be, this is just a mnemonic for us to remember. Could be that Rav and Shmuel are machulik about something else. Anyway, so Rav holds this, Shmuel holds that, and that's the siman to remember. Amr, Papa, Hilchasayim, Shishim, Kalachas, Shishim, that we don't wait until day 61. We start saying Masei Talamot Levracha on day 60 of the Mishnah.
And then, how you got to the December 4th, 5th?
60 days after the beginning of the Tkufa.
So the Tkufa is between the 21st, or whatever it may be.
That's in September.
Yeah.
But then 60 days after September 21st or 23rd, it's not going to get you to the beginning of December.
Right. So
the Art Scroll says that for these purposes, the autumnal solstice or whatever way he calls it, starts on October 7th or 8th. Then you add 60 days and you get to December 5th or 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should have that. Do you have that footnote? If not, you want me to find it for you?
It may be this is an earlier version.
It's right after the Mishnah. You see where the Mishnah ends? Yeah. Then you have Omer Blas Lachem Gamliel. You should be able to, over there, be able to see.
Number 42,
you have 42. The Dibar to Bum. Bum is 42.
Oh, here.
Oh, you see? You don't have to get a new edition. It's there. Baruch Hashem. You don't have to ask for a refund. On the next Mishnah. Mishnah Zoktach, we said that you're supposed to ask for Gesham on Gimel or on Zayin. Now, remember, we had a few days ago in the Gemara that there was a three-way machlokes. We had a mayor, Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi about the three zmanim of the Yoyre. You remember, are the early rays. And so we had a three-way machlokes. Who's back on Vav Omid Aleph, Vav Omid Aleph, where, right, see that there's this large parentheses, Kimin Shiyotza Nisan, skip down to two lines where it says at the end of the line, Desanya Ezi Revi Rishon. I'm reading now, Rabbi said from the about 10 lines from the bottom of Vav Amid Aleph. What is the Revi Rishon? Habachira, that's the first of the first range, Shloshim Machesh, the Bainness, the Shiva Boy, Afela B'Shiva Asim Boy. So those are the three dates, 3, 7, and 17. That was Ramei. The Yehuda said it's 7, 17, and 23. The Yossi said it's 17, 23, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And the Gemara asked, well, we have to have these three separate Zmanim for, well, what's the purpose of all of this? And the Gemara said that the first one comes to tell you, Lish Oil, when you begin with St. Talmud Tavrach. The third Zman is Lis Anois, beginning of fasting, Tifchas HaShol Mitazarein. And in the middle one, we had four different Pshatim, whether it's Lidorim, or Lizaisim, Shvil HaRishus, or for Bir and Shemitah. We had four different answers. But bottom line is the third of the three Zmanim, that is the Gabe with his Anoi, so we have to go and institute fast to make sure that we beseech Hashem that Kadosh Baruch Hu should go and bring the rain. So we had, again, based on this three-way machloikis, Reb Meir said that the third time is Shiva Asabai, is the 17th. Reb Yehuda said Esrei B'Shloisha. Reb Yossi says it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Since our Mishnah says B'Shiva Asabai, it sounds like, our Mishnah goes like Reb Meir. That's when we begin the Tanais. There's up to Mishnah. It's the 17th day of Machesh, and we didn't get the Yoira yet. And remember, according to Reb Meir, the first rain should have come on Gimel Cheshvan. The second rain should have come on Zion Cheshvan. The third on Yud Zion. And nothing has come. Nebuch, it's dry. So then we have the Yechidim get together and they would go and fast. Who are the Yechidim? We'll see as soon as we start the Gemara. Those are the Rabbanan. Those are the Kroisa Tamid Chacham, the Er L'Chayim. They go and start fasting. And they fast Gimel Taniyoy. So now she says they fast Bahab. Like we'll see mentioned in the Gemara. Bahab means Monday, Thursday, Monday. And it is a lighter fast. When I say lighter fast, like the four fasts other than Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, where you can still eat the night before. You only have to start fasting in the morning. In other words, like a regular fast day, not like a Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av. Now what happens to Yom, notwithstanding that the Yechidim had fasted until now, they did a great job, but unfortunately, it still didn't rain. And now it's almost 2 weeks later, from Yitzayim until Rosh Chodesh Kislev. The Bezen Goyz Yishov Yishani Yisal HaTzibur. Now, Kalal Yishov, it's not just the Yechidim. Everybody has to participate in the fast. But once again, these are light fasts. Zog Dimar. We started off that the Yechidim are the ones that fast. Who are the Yechidim? And Yechidim Am Rav Huna, Rabban, and these are the Tzami Techachamim. Who has been moving later. So, okay. Thank you, David. They fast three Tanesim, that Sheni, Machamish, Vesheni, Bahab, Monday, Thursday, and Monday. Pray to more Maika Mashmalan. This is Rafuna. Rafuna is an Amoira. What is he telling us that we didn't know, Tanina? It's a Mishnah later on, another 5 days, and Daftez Vav. We're going to have them in the Mishnah. Ein Goyz and Tanis al Tima, but Chila Bachamishi. The Mishnah says very clearly, don't go and legislate a brand new fast starting on a Thursday, but only do it in the order of Monday, Thursday, and Monday. Monday, Thursday, and Monday considered to be very auspicious days because those are days when there are special rachamim. There's a toisis about it somewhere. I don't see it now. But those are Yimei Rachamim, and that's why we say the long Tachman on Mondays and Thursdays, because we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for special Rachamim on those days. Those days are Mesugal, auspicious for the divine mercy from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that being the case, we should start either on Monday or Thursday. Why do we start on Monday and not Thursday? Shlefkir she'or means that we're afraid that the storekeepers, who apparently are either not Jewish or at least not Talmudically inclined, do not realize that this day is a fast day, and they see all of these choshevim coming into the stores asking for a double portion. Not only they're buying ready for Shabbos, they're also buying to be able to eat that night, to be able to eat a meal at the end of the fast. And then they think to themselves, well, the Jews are buying double than what they usually buy. That sounds like that they must know from their God that there's going to be a shortage. Therefore, guess what happens? Then the prices go up. And that's why don't start your fast day on Thursday. Start it on Monday. So by the time they come Monday, they're only taking one meal for that night. So, no, okay, you know, they must be having some sort of simcha, they're having a big meal that night. But it's not that you have two that they're buying double. So the storekeepers are not going to raise the prices. Anyway, that's what it says in the Mishnah over there. So what did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna said the same thing. Yechidim Hassan, Sholish Taniyas, on behalf. When do we have the concern of lehafkir es hasharim? If everybody, if every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going into the stores, or his wife, his spouse, going into the store to go and buy double meals, both for Thursday night as well as for Shabbos, well, that's a lot of people. Everybody in the store is taking double. Avayach, when you're talking about a relatively small number of people, we're talking about the yechidim, I would think, well, you don't have to worry about it after all, okay? So out of the 100 customers, 5 or 10 customers are taking double, but everybody else is taking the normal. So I would think we don't have to worry about it. Kamash, well, no, says Rav Huna, even by the yechidim, we don't start on Thursdays, we start on Mondays. Like we just said. Now what happens if Sheni B'Chamish V'Sheni comes out on a day of Rosh Chodesh? Which means that if they were Goyza Tanis, like a Monday, Thursday, Monday, and without thinking next Thursday or Monday turns out to be Rosh Chodesh, or it's a Yontav which is enumerated Megillas Tanis. We remember we had Megillas Tanis earlier on in the Masechta, when it's still Negea Bizman Hazeh after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So either this Gemara is going according to Man Yomar, yes, it still does, or this is talking about when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. But bottom line is, if you have one of the Yom Tov which is set forth in Megillas Tanis, what's the din? Then you're not allowed to fast on that day. That's the importance of the Megillas Tanis, that here's the day you cannot fast. So what do? Sitaki, you don't, you're mafsik. Rashi says, well, the Mishnah Gemara said, mafsikin. Yitaki, don't go and fast on those days, Rosh Chodesh, or the Yom Tov, the Megillas Tanis.
Someone says, if you're Rosh Chodesh, you should below Yardi Hashamim.
You only start on the Monday after Rosh Chodesh. You never start on Rosh Chodesh itself. Turn about. Ayyemir Adum Talmud Ani Eni Roy Liyos Yochid. Kol Tamid Acham Yechidim. What the Gemara tells us is, now what happens if you have someone who is not a full-fledged Rabbanon yet? He is a Talmud, and he's a very chosh of the Talmud, but he's not a member of the exclusive Yechidim Chlor. Can he also fast as if he was a yachid? Now, what's the issue? The issue is, if he's really not one of the yachidim, he's not one of the rabbanon, and we're going to, in a moment, define what a yachid is. So if he's not really a member of that club, do you think that that's like gasus haruach, that shows that this person is pompous, that he is arrogant? Or do you say, no, you know, if somebody wants to fast, he's in tight. And that's going to be now a discussion. A person should not say, I'm only a Talmud. I'm learning among the Rabbanan, but I don't rise to the level of a Yachid. I'm not Roy. I should go and fast with the chief rabbis. I'm just not a major league rabbi. I'm just a minor league rabbi. I'm not confessed. For these purposes, anybody and everybody can consider himself to be yachid. The Gemara is not saying that you have to fast. What the Gemara is saying is, don't worry about that people will think that you're being pompous in that you're fasting today. Gesindheit, as many people who want to fast can join as possible. And from Rashi, Mashma a little bit later, that even a person who's not a Talmud Chacham at all, even a person who's an Am Aretz, can also join in the fasting, as we'll see momentarily. So, Al Yoyimer Odom Talmud Ani, I don't rise to the level of Yachid, any Rabbi Yachid, Elokotim, Decham, Yachid. Ezo Yachid, Ezo Tamid. How would you distinguish between the two? Yachid, Kosheroy, Lemoise, Parnas, Oletziba. A person who is such a Tamid Chacham, he could be the Posek, he could be the Rav of the town, of the community, because he really knows everything. Well, a Talmud is Goshishal Moises, Varalochim, Limudai, the Oimer, Bafilim, and Zach to the Kal. A Talmud is a person who you ask him about what he's learning. He's learning now Bava Kama, he's learning now Masechtas Tanis, and he can go and tell you, yeah, I'll tell you what we learned today. We had a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Is the 60th day like the 61st or not? What does Rav hold? What does Shmuel hold? I don't really remember, but I remember there was a mnemonic, there was a simon that Eloi don't need the water, and the Tatoi don't need the water, and Rav came from Eretz Yisrael, etc. He's able to respond fairly readily about what he is learning, as well as Afil Masech to the Kala. What means Masech to the Kala? If you look at the back of most Shasin, in the back of Masech to Savoyde Zora, you'll see that what we have Masech to Isketanois. Those Masech to Isketanois are very, very short Masechtas, which are normally not considered to be part of Shas. They're considered to be like a Tesefta, like a Braisa. And these Masech to Isketanois, one of them is called Tzitzis, and one is called Avodim, one is called Tfilin. A short Masech to all of one perek or something, and very often all of one page in the Gemara after the, in most Gemaras at the end of the Masechta Sabbei Zara. Anyway, so what happens to this person not really learning heavy duty Gemara, such as Bava Kamba, Metzia, Bava Basra, or even Ta'anis, but he's learning Masechta Dekala, which is a relatively, considered to be a relatively easy Masechta. Even there, if he knows how to answer, but what he's learning is considered to be a Talmud. And therefore, that's the distinction between the two. So if you only happen to be a Talmud, and you say, but I'm not right to be a Parnas al Tzibur, if you want to fast, Yizintayt, you can fast. Don't be concerned. Tanur, when we have the Braisa, when we have a Machloikis now, Zokta Tanikamu, Loikol Roitzalas, that's where Yochid Oysa, Talmud Oysa, Tibereme. Not anybody who wants to make himself to be a Yochid. No, not everybody can do that. Only a person who's really on the madreg of a yachid, he could be a yachid. But stamazoi, don't make yourself into a yachid. Now it says Talmud Oysa. The question is, what does that mean? Does it mean loy kolaroitza lasis atzmoi Talmud Oysa? A person, if he's not on the status of being a Talmud, he's not allowed to make himself into a Talmud? Or do you put a semicolon after yachid Oysa? In other words, not everybody, if you want to be a yachid, you cannot go and put on the ear as if, or ears as if you happen to be a yachid. If you're not in that madrig, you're not. Stop. But Talmud, oh, he said that you can do. Or do you say, it goes on the Talmud as well? Anyway, whichever way you're going to answer, you will be right. Because Rashi has two pshatim over here. One pshat is that you cannot make yourself into a Talmud. And one pshat is you can make yourself into a Talmud. Now, what are the halachic ramifications of making yourself into a Talmud? I know the ramifications of making yourself into a Yochid, whether or not you have to go and fast. But what does that mean, legabe a Talmud? So Rashi says, the Talmidim would go and conduct themselves with a special layer or a special procedure of conduct, which the regular, normal folk did not. So if you want to take a quick look in the Rashi, you have Rashi Lishna Achrina. In my Gemara, it's about 8, 9, 10 lines into the narrow lines. There's a little dot, and then it starts Lishnachrina, Garcina. Loi Kolaroitza Lasis Atzmi Yochid, but he said, Talmud Oisa Kalaymer. Veloi Kolaroitza Nami Lasis Atzmi Talmud. Lishnaik Atzmi the Midas Talmud, to go and act and conduct himself with as if he was a Talmud. Also, he should not do so. Now, what means a Talmud? Midas Talmud, Bechalukai, the way his dress, the way he's dressed. Umitasoi in his bed, ulis nois besuder shall Tamitacham, to go and put on a special scarf or a shawl that Tamitacham would wear. Shardvarm oise, choleroitza lita loy es hashem loy yitar. If you're on the madrig of a Talmud, then you can go and dress differently. I'm not sure what Rashi means about mitasoi. We'd have to look up the Gemara in Bava Basra exactly what that means. But the point is, the Tamitacham would go and conduct themselves a little bit differently than the rest of the folk, of the rest of the Amoratsim, and so therefore, if you're on the Madrega, but if you're not, don't even think of dressing in that fashion or conducting yourself in that fashion. That's Ramei. Rabbi Oisi, I'm back to the Gemara. Oisa, especially when it comes to a yochid legabe fasting, you want to make yourself a yochid for the day or for Bahab and fast with everybody else, Zochel Toiv Gizdim Tahait will give you shishi, even the middle of the week. This is not the type of thing that he goes around with false ears and says, oh, ich ben a yochid, and he makes himself a pompous and arrogant. It's a time to have to go and fast, even if it's not a 24-hour fast. It's a 10-hour, 12-hour fast. It's also a fast. A fast is a fast. So therefore, anybody who wants to join in, and this, it doesn't even have to be a Talmud Chacham, anybody can join in according to Rabbi Yossi. Tani Idach. A similar price, a similar machlokes. And that anybody and everybody can go and say, I'm a yochid, I'm a talmid. If you're talking about something where that would get him a certain degree of honor and respect, so if you don't deserve it, then don't wear the clothes and the garb of someone who deserves respect. You're talking about fasting. Same thing. Tonaban, Mishoi Misana Latar, the Ovra, Allah Khulim Sapir is a Misana Umash. What happens if Nebuchadnezzar was in this community, there's been a drought, it hasn't rained for the last 30 days. The farmers say that we're going to be devastated, our Parnassus will be devastated, the whole community will have nothing to eat, we're going to have to import food from South Africa, it's going to be expensive, and it's by the time it gets here, it will all be spoiled. What are we going to do? So they institute a tanis. We're going to go and fast. What happens if the fast was so successful that after they fasted already in the morning, before even got the afternoon, it started pouring, and everybody was celebrating, ah, give out. So they have to go and finish off the fast. And the same thing applies is Nebuch, Yankel Smith, Nebuch is very, very sick, and the people took upon themselves, instead of having these chats where everybody takes three kapitlach of Tillim, they go around the world with Tillim, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Yeah, they have people going around the world, they're all going to go and fast for Yankel Smith. And they took upon themselves to fast because of Tzchoylem, Baruch Hashem, Yad HaRefuah. They come out right after Shachris, the doctors walk in. Rabbi say, Anes, you have no idea. He was in the ICU on a respirator until now, and now he's walking around like Achad Adam. He wants to come to the second minion. What's the dinner? Is it Masan Mashlim? We have to finish off the Tanis. Anyway, why do you have to finish off? We already accomplished what we set out to do. So Rashi says it's like as Ashtikum Maris Ayin. If you look at the Rashi right next to our Gemara, parallel to Torah Ovra, Masan Mashlim, the Imlav Nira Kimas Im Koinai. It's as if he makes some sort of stipulation with Rabbi Shlom. He says, Rabbi Yishlam, Im Tabor, if this Tzara passes, or if Yankel Smith has a refuah, then Loi Esan. Then I'm not going to finish off the Tanis because Baruch Hashem, there's no purpose. Baruch Hashem, we already got our refuah. The Amlab, and if unfortunately the Tzara does not go away, and Yankel Smith doesn't have an instantaneous refuah, then Esan, then I will go and fast. So it sounds like you're handling with the Kodesh Baruch when you say, Rabbi Yishlam, yeah, let's sit down, let's discuss it. If you're going to go and listen to my Tanis, then I can go and finish off early. If you're not going to listen, I'm going to be doing the whole day. It's an ish. That's not the way to conduct yourself. Continue on the price. Now, this is much more lahalacha. Person who goes from a place where they're not fasting to a place where they are fasting. In other words, in terms of chazal, in terms of this price, you're traveling from your city where Baruch Hashem, there's plenty of rain. Baruch Hashem, everybody's healthy. You're going to a particular town where unfortunately there is no rain or somebody Nebuch is very sick. So you left a place where they're not Misanim. You come to a place where they are fasting. As in Misanim, you have to go and be Misanim together with them. Rashi used an expression on the next Gemara and another two lines from now that you should not look like Chosun Bein Ho'avelim. Everybody else, Nebuch, is fasting. You say, well, I come from Kishkin Halash. We didn't have a fast, so I don't have to fast, you know. See, it looks like the groom among all those who are fasting, which is kind of ironic, because it's the groom who's supposed to be the faster among all the people that are eating. But that's the expression Rashi says. You shouldn't look like a chosin bein ha'avel. Anyway, continuing the mara, what happens if you come to Mokim Shemesan, the Mokim She'ein Mesan, you left a place where they did fast, you're going to a place where they're not fast, the Mesan U'mashlim. Even though where you are now, nobody's fasting, since your town, your community took upon themselves a tanis, you have to go be mashman the tanis. Now, I said this in the Gear Lalocha because a lot of people travel today, especially if they're traveling by plane. People try to avoid traveling by plane on a fast day, but what happens if you cannot? So depending which direction you're going, whether you're going east or west, sometimes you could have a longer tanis, sometimes you can have a shorter tanis. So even though where you have left, it's already been 18 hours since where you left, but unfortunately it's still light in terms of when you're in the plane. So you have to go wait until nighttime. You could have theoretically a very long tanis just because of the fact that you're going in the wrong direction. Anyway, harizem b'sanu u'mashta. So you have to go and finish off the tanis. Shochav v'ochel v'shos. What happens during the tanis? You forgot. After all, it was the afternoon. You were busy at work. And then by mistake, you took a drink. And afterwards, you said, oh, no. I stopped the tanis. It's a fast day. And I ate. I drunk. I was a mistake. I forgot. You know? After that, don't drezach among the rest of the people, even if you're not eating at that time. However, everybody else, you can look at them and you see that they're all have tired and have starving. They really look efferlich. But you that have eaten and drunk, you walk around. Here, Rashi uses that expression. You look like a chosin beinu avelim. So don't do that because people, makana, halavai, I should have forgotten. So I should be able to eat. So don't do that. If a person either cannot fast or forgot and now he started eating, so he shouldn't go and say, since I'm no longer fasting anyway, I might as well have it. I might as well eat now a full meal. No, you shouldn't do that. Yaakov Vina said to his sons when he sent them to Yosef, to Mitzrayim, don't show off. Rashi brings this in the Chumash as well, that they did in fact have enough food for the time being. But Yaakov says to his children that if you're going to walk around as if you have, Baruch Hashem, plenty of food, everybody else is going to make kana, all the goyim and all your neighbors, they're all going to say, hey, how come the Jews seem to be very happy? None of them are purchasing tickets to go down to Yosef and Mitzrayim. It looks like they got plenty of food. What's going on? So out this road. So here too, that they shouldn't be makana. Don't go around eating. It's true. You already broke your fast. You broke your fast. But don't go and keep on eating and eating. People are going to be makana. Right. In the same story, it says, Lama Tisroni, and Yaakovina also said to his sons, Al tigrizu b'dark. Don't get agitated, don't get angry whilst you're traveling. So why should they get angry? Here's Yosef telling his brothers when they're returning to Yaakov, the problem is if you fellas are going to go and whilst you're traveling, you're going to be osik b'dvar halacha. In other words, you're going to learn en route, then you might lose your way or you might miss the stop sign or something like that. In other words, you have to go and pay attention to the roads and don't get too deep into Dvar Loch. That's the Al Tigris of Adar. Two people that are traveling, two Tamilcham. They are Chasu Sholem, they are worthy of being burned. Shem says, about to be Hema Hulchim, Holoich, the Daber, Vine Rechem, Eish, Vesuse, Eish, Viafridu, Bain Shne. That's in the Gemara, it's because of the Holoich Vidaber. They were talking. What were they talking about? They were talking about the very tire. Because of that, the Rechav Eish Vesusei Eish did not harm them. But Yafrinu Ben Shleim went in between the two, and the two did not even get singed. Tam Deikah Dibur, because it was Hoylech Vedab, but they were going and they were talking and learning. Hoylech Vedab, they were Ruin Lisarev. So now this is directly the opposite of what we just said. We said, Al Tigazu B'derach, said Reb Lazar, don't be oisig b'dvar alocha because you can get chas v'sholem into some sort of accident. And here he's saying, you better talk to the Torah, otherwise we'll be sorry. Lemigris means if they are all just reviewing their Mishnayos or the Gemara Baal Peh, they're just going through it, that's okay. That you should do, because otherwise we'll be sorry. The unit, however, to get into an in-depth discussion and say, as chasira, the Rambam, Rambam Hilchas this, the Rambam Hilchas that, and then start going through Reb Chaim's, Reb Chubel, the Reb Shimon's, the Reb Naftali, so you're starting to go into Grois, the Ion, then you can get quite heated, literally, and therefore then you might get into accidents, into trouble, so The migris is permissible. In fact, it's mandatory, but don't be ma'ay. That you wait until you get to your logics. Masisa tried to learn the price on tafsiu psia achas. I'm sorry, psia gasa. Bichnisu cham le'ir. This is also advice for travelers. Al tafsiu psia gasa. Yom amar psia gasa. They tell us echem michomish meyers im or einav shel adam. A person should not go with large, at a large gate. In other words, I'm sorry?
Stride.
Large stride. Sorry?
I
don't know. But don't go large strides. That's not good because then you go and lose 1/500 of the. And when you get back, when you are traveling, make sure you get into the city when it's still chama, when it's still light. Don't come back when it's already dark. Dark, obviously, you have all types of problems, potential ganovim, list them, and also chayis, and also you might fall into some sort of crack, into a crevice, into a pothole. A person should always leave when it's already light in the morning. In other words, don't leave at pitch dark. And when you come back, it should also be light. Why does Gemara use the expression kitoiv? Because it says in the pasuk when Kodesh Baruch Hu created the R, that Kodesh Baruch Hu said that he saw it was kitoiv. And therefore, Zokti Gemara, that's where you should come in and should return when it's light. Shnema boiker. Or, it's lit up the boiker. So a person should go and travel when it's light. This may or may not apply to today because certainly in the big cities, you have plenty of street lights, which you didn't have at the time. You have to leave early to daven neitz. Exactly right. Good. We're talking about more traveling, not just walking to shul, but you're right. When a person is traveling and he brought along with him some provisions, he shouldn't go and overeat. Eat the normal amount that you prepared yourself for. Don't eat more than shnei ro'avim, the years of fasting. My time, what's reading? So Yomari gives two very practical considerations. Mayona means that if you overeat, then says Rashi, yischalchu meyav shel adam b'roiv achilosu v'neitoir chadar. Eating and traveling at the same time don't always mix and match. And what may happen is if you're going to eat too much and you're traveling, you can get an upset stomach, and then you're going to have problems with your intestines, and then you're going to have diarrhea, and you're going to have a miserable trip. The other reason is Mishum Mazaini. Push it. If you can eat too much, then you may not have anything left for the last day. So eat in smaller portions, smaller allocations. If you eat a lot at the beginning of the trip, you may not have anything at the end of the trip. Right? What's enough? That you're sitting in a boat. So what's the difference of sitting in a boat? Says Rashi Mishum Mazaini Ika. You have to worry about overeating at the outset of the trip, because since you're in a boat, you have to wait until the cruise is over 5 days, 10 days later. And if you don't have enough food, you're not going to get more. But Mishamayona Leka, you don't have to worry about the Mayona, because here you're not climbing and you're not going up and down. Obviously, we're not talking about a seasick situation, because that also could affect your Mayona. The person, although he's traveling from town to town, where there are inns and where there are stores where food is readily available. So therefore, he doesn't have to worry about a shortage of food, but he has to worry about mayona that he might get travel sickness. As Lord tells us elsewhere, that our papa was rather stout and he had a very hearty appetite. And so therefore, it says that every parson that he would travel, he would eat another rifta. Rifta means bread. Literally, it might even be a loaf of bread. So he of every parson another bread. Kasava Mishum Ayana. He thought that the problem is not Mishum Mazoini, but rather the problem is Mishum Ayana. He says, I don't have to worry. Mayana, Baruch Hashem, my infrastructure is such, I can eat as much as I want. I never get intestinal problems. I never get stomach aches. Everything is fine. And we'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai, and look forward to Mirat Hashem to see you all and learn together in another few days. Yosef Landau will be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, perhaps on Friday and Sunday, depending if everybody's on their best conduct, as well as whether his wife forces him to go somewhere to a Thanksgiving Day weekend. Mary, you have a question?
Yeah. When are you returning? You'll be back Sunday afternoon?
Sunday afternoon. So Mitchem here, Bismedish Mishem Monday morning.
Okay, so we have Shiurim for all the days. I'll send them out each day. I'm also going to send a link to all the Shiurim for people who want to learn ahead. Okay?
Oh, Shukoyach. So you'll send that on a daily basis?
Yes. In addition, good. I'm sending out the link to the other Shiurim.
Good. If anybody, perhaps somebody wants to, some of our Choshele people that are on the Zoom now would like to hear Yosef Landau. So if you would like to, set up one of these iPhones for Zoom, by all means, people have the interest, isn't it? That I leave to you. In the meantime, have a wonderful day, and I'm going to take this machine with me, so don't forget to bring your machine back.
Okay? I will not. Okay.
Very good. So Zag Yibench, thank you very much. Hatzlacha to everyone.
Yes.
Be well.
So she's expecting Hanla's call.